You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Everything you need for your Denver Nuggets fanhood be found on DenverStiffs.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. Going to be doing some cool stuff over the summer with those accounts. I like the offseason. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big offseason guy. I think the worst part of the NBA season is like December to January. The offseason is actually pretty intriguing. This episode of the show is going to be an evaluation, the first of many evaluations I'll be doing, sort of a postmortem on the season and the different players. This one will be on Michael Malone. I wanted to start there. I've promised you guys an episode like this for a while because I know that he was a point of contention. Now, I will say in the previous episode, sort of the season capstone, I talked about all of the different reasons why I don't think Michael Malone should be fired. That was kind of a talking point among fans more than it was like an actual talking point. You know, it was never anything that was going to happen, but to kind of go quickly over it, you know, Malone, first of all, the team has improved by 16 wins in two seasons. How much of that is on him, I think, is worth debate. I don't think I certainly don't, you know, if you just put a league replacement coach in charge of a team that as was as young as the Nuggets were two seasons ago and then just watch them develop over the course of 3 years, you would see some level of improvement. So I don't think it's one of those things where it was like if you put just an average coach in there, they would have not improved any games or anything like that. So how much, I think, is an item for debate. But nonetheless, it is important that the team has gotten better every year under Michael Malone. He's so well liked by the players and around the league. He's well known. He's connected. He's charismatic. He's got all these different things going for him. I don't think you can fire a coach in those circumstances, especially if you're the Denver Nuggets. So as I said, I talked about all of those things before. I don't want to go over them too much again. This episode is going to be more about evaluating the job that he did as a coach this season. And the way I'll break it up is I will start with his successes. I will move on to what I deem to be his failures. And then in the last one, I'll kind of talk about why there is hope, whether you're pro Malone or anti Malone, why there is hope that he will be a different and better coach next season. So to get started, Malone's successes, I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I want to reiterate this because I believe it to be the truth. The players like Michael Malone. I would say most players, I don't know what Kenneth Faried's opinion is of Michael Malone. I would guess it's not horribly favorable. Yusef Nurkic hates Michael Malone and has kind of said, or at least made reference to the fact that he doesn't hate anybody in the Nuggets organization except for the coach. So, and of course, when people are scorned, of course they're going to like him. Trey Lyles hates Utah. Everybody else seems to love Utah, everybody that's there, and talks about what a family it is. Trey Lyles doesn't. So, you've always got to take when somebody does not get playing time and is unhappy in their role, you've always got to take what they say with a grain of salt. The important players, Nikola Jokic seems to like him, at the very least like him. I don't think, you know, Jokic rarely takes too many things too seriously. So, you know, you ask him what he thinks of Malone, and I think he's positive to everyone. Jamal Murray, on the other hand, has gone out of his way to not just say how much he likes Malone, but really is emphatic in his praise. Gary Harris, pretty similar. Gary Harris and Will Barton both kind of have the same approach to him. Never heard them say a bad thing about Coach. They've gone out of their way to say how the team is prepared. It's not Coach's fault. After a bad loss, not his fault, it's ours. But they've also gone out of their way to say how much he gave them a shot and he believed in them. I think one of the things, I think Malone is great. Somewhere between a B-plus and an A-plus in all of the like non-X's and O's parts of the game. And that and this is such a big part. I think people sit at home and think like the game, you've got to be this Albert Einstein that draws up these master play. I think like that's why Brad Stevens is such a poster child for everybody, is because he's creative and thinking outside the box and seems to be malleable and can change to his personnel and all this stuff. And that's so important. It might be more important, honestly, than any other part of the game. But there's a lot more to it, and unless you're around a team, honestly, even I only know part of this, and I'm around a team a lot, but I do see all the little moments where Malone pulls a guy aside, and he's just working with guy. Here are the way the different players talk to him. Trey Lyles talks about how good Malone was when Millsap came back. He sat him down one-on-one meeting and just talked about, hey, look, you're the guy out, and I want you to know that, and I want and all these things. That's huge. You know, when George Karl or when I had Wilson Chandler on this show, he said that he'd never talked to George Karl, that the two of them never talked to each other. And it just blew my mind. I think there's a lot of coaches that are that way where, you know, Fizdale and Mark Gasol allegedly never talked to each other or hadn't talked to each other in like 9 months. I think it's more common than you think, and I think Malone does such a good job of making these guys understand that he cares about them, communicating with them. And look, if you're not tough enough to handle what he's telling you, whether you agree with it or not, if you're not tough enough to handle it, you know, you can at least respect the fact that he's taken it to you man to man to be able to communicate these things, and that's so important. The locker room is incredibly focused. There's no clown show, and again, this is a thing that I think if every fan got an opportunity to just go in like every locker room in the NBA and kind of observe, you would see that it's not a given that especially a young group would not go through turmoil. Think about the Lakers. They've had some off-court turmoil and some unfocused, you know, things like that. There's been so many teams. I singled out the Lakers, but really, like, all young teams have had these distractions. Philadelphia. Malone has done, I think, a good job, and the front office gets credit for this too, but they've done a very good job of making it a professional environment, and I think the guys that are in the Nuggets locker room are there to get better. Lyles, Beasley, Wancho, these guys that are not consistently in the rotation, they are always ready, and they stayed working hard and in shape all season long. I think that's important. We saw what happened with Nurkic gaining all that weight, like 40 pounds. He really provided the exception, not the rule. A lot of these guys that feel like they should be getting more minutes have at least stayed motivated, and I think he deserves credit, a lot of credit for that. The team never lost more than 3 games in a row, and that's a pretty big deal. I think, say what you will about the team being unfocused or just not caring and the energy and effort and stuff, you know, he wouldn't allow the team to fall into prolonged funks. And again, it sounds like such a simple thing, but I wonder how many teams didn't have a 4-game losing streak this season. I would guess not that many. And Malone, again, deserves a lot of credit for that. I think just talking about who he is as a coach, he's an incredibly driven person. By my read on him, he's an incredibly driven and motivated person. I think he wants to be the best coach in the NBA. Like, he really, truly doesn't just want to be in this job. You know, I do think there's some guys that take the job a little bit relaxed. I think Michael Malone really wants to be a learner, wants to be a guy that can grow and become and just get better at his craft. I think that's why he demands so much of his players, and I think that's why he's drawn to guys like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, other workhorses, other guys who are just have that workman-like mentality, get in the gym and grind. I think Malone sees that of himself. I think sometimes so much so, or too much so. I think sometimes, you know, a glass of wine and you know, some chill music maybe it would be good for his like creativity and his heart rate. But I think he's incredibly driven, and you know, he's young. I think if you're optimistic, there's a lot of room for growth there. He aims to learn from his mistakes. We all talked about, and it's a slow process. It's slower, I think, than what a lot of people would want. He came around on some of the things regarding Jokic. He came around on not calling so many timeouts and panicking. I think he makes strides in some of the little areas that he needs to, and it gives you hope again that he will continue to grow as time goes on. He's also number one in ATOs this season offensively in points per possession, according to Synergy. Now, the Nuggets had a very good half-court offense, so some of this is, you know, they're good. If you're good on offense, you're probably good on ATO offense. But nonetheless, first, it's not like he was drawing up a ton of duds. He did have some really nice stuff throughout the season. Went to the post a little bit more than I would have liked. But he has some nice qualities in there in terms of ATOs. The negatives, or the failures, if you want to call them that, so we got to start with the number one, which to me is when we talk about Malone, I think there's really one complaint or one fear, and a bunch of little stuff. The little stuff, it's just like you wouldn't even think twice. I mean, you could find little stuff on Popovich, I'm sure. But the number one thing that I think makes me the most concerned about him and whether or not I think he is an actual right coach for this job, which, to be honest with you, I'm not sure about. When I say he shouldn't be fired, that doesn't mean that I think he's the guy that's going to lead the Nuggets to the promised land. I would actually probably be more skeptical about that than I would be optimistic about it. But the thing that gives me the most concern about him is I just don't know that he understands Nikola Jokic. And before I go into this rant, you have to understand something about me that I am unapologetic about. I think I do understand Nikola Jokic more so than I've ever understood an elite talent. And I've talked about the different reasons for this. I play a similar style, a similar brand of basketball. I have a similar personality, not identical, but in either regard, but I think similar personality. So I kind of get, when he plays, I kind of see the different things. This is why, as most of you know, and I brag about this maybe once or twice a year, I wrote the very first summer league he was in, the second game he played, I wrote a big piece about him and how he was the player of the draft, not Moutier, and how I called it starting the Nikola Jokic bandwagon, because I feel like I understand his game and his thought process and sort of his instincts for the game, and just understand what makes him a good player and what makes the thing he does so valuable. And that's why I say this with confidence, and again, maybe false confidence I shouldn't have, but I don't know that he fully understands how to make Nikola Jokic fully optimized yet. You know, there's obviously been moments. Last season we saw, I think, a very optimized version of Jokic. This season in February we saw that. I don't think he has learned how to use him when you're trying to build a defense around him and inserting, you know, Millsap or Plumlee into him. I think there's some very important things that he does not understand about how to get the most out of him. I also am not sure he understands the personality, although this much more to a lesser extent. I think, and this is another thing I think he has learned with Jokic. I think his approach to Jokic has been different. Jokic is the most unique star in the league in a lot of ways. And I don't even know if he's a star, but elite of the top 20 players in the NBA, I think Jokic is far and away the most outside the lines, both in style of play. I mean, he's a 7-foot point center. That's a very strange thing. And all the things he does, very strange. But also just from a personality standpoint, you know, it's funny. In his exit interview, people asked Jokic, you know, like, was that last game painful? Did it hurt? And every other player, like Will Barton, still had tears in his eyes. Jamal Murray wanted to get home. He said he was not taking any break. He's going to go right into training. That's how, like, motivated and how pissed off he was. You know, Jokic was funny. He was like, part of it was he had a great game, but he's like, no, you know, to be honest, we played as good as we could. The games I regret are the Atlanta. Like, he was very pragmatic, right? Like, it wasn't this emotional thing with him. He's so cerebral. And that's why I say I think I connect with him and understand him, is he approaches the game. Like, you yell at a guy like that, I think 9 times out of 10, it's just like in one ear, out the other. You got to connect. He's got to understand why you're saying some of the things that you're saying to him. So he's different in that regard, and I think Malone is going, whoever coaches the Nuggets while Jokic is here is going to succeed and fail on the merits of Jokic. There's an argument to be made. If you just look at the on-off data and like who shares the court with who and whatever, the Nuggets are not very good when Jokic isn't on the court. And when you talk about the talent on this roster, you know, Plumlee's a good player. He's a serviceable center. People think I'm down on Plumlee. I'm not. He's a very good player. But Plumlee, Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, Jamal Murray, Will Barton, Wilson Chandler, all these guys are good. And yet it's so difficult. There's so few lineups that actually succeed without Jokic in them. And I think, you know, that's a very big cause for concern. So he's been slow to it. I think it also takes a level of creativity and open-mindedness, and this is where I think philosophically Malone is not the perfect ideal coach. Can he become that? I absolutely think he can, and I think he wants to, but is he naturally, is he inherently? When he closed his eyes before he took the Nuggets job and envisioned what a kind of coach he was going to be, he did not envision Nikola Jokic. That's my opinion. When he envisions what a perfect team is, it does not include a point center. Like, it just doesn't. So the quest for him over this next season, if it's not going to be his last, it's going to be, how can I fully understand and embrace this style and how can I get the most of it? I think it's going to take a lot of creativity, a lot of stepping away. I always say that it's sort of like Peyton Manning being coached by Andy Reid for you football people out there. When you have an offensive genius, sometimes less is more. And I think that's going to be the biggest test for Malone is figuring out how to space the floor properly, given the people that he has, and then how to step away and trust that his players can figure out the rest, because that's how you handle it. Another complaint, and who knows, but this is actually that's the biggest complaint. So to me, if you threw everything else out, to me, that's the number one thing he is going to have to figure out in years to come or year to come is how can he get the most out of Jokic? Because when you get the most out of him, you get the most out of the Nuggets. Now, a minor complaint, and this, again, we only see the surface, right? It's like an iceberg. We only see the things above the surface, and a lot of times there's hidden motivations. There's things going on we don't hear about. Lots of things, actually. Even myself, who's in a locker room, I still feel like I get about 10% of the story. Early in the season, he referred to Paul Millsap as the team's best player, and again, this is me thinking he doesn't quite understand what he has in Jokic or what he had. I think he's come a long way in that regard. He then called Gary Harris the team's MVP, which again I think is absolutely absurd. He's only the MVP of the first 2 months of the season because I don't think you understood. It's one of these things like if you had the 96 Bulls and you thought Scottie Pippen was your best player, it's probably because you weren't using Michael Jordan correctly, right? Like that's kind of how I looked at here. There were people, lots of smart people and lots of people that watched every Nuggets game and really bought into this that thought, you know, I think Gary Harris is the better player. I don't think now there's any question about that. And I love Gary Harris. I think he's incredible. But the fact that that was a question at least bodes partially against the way that the Nuggets operated in that first half of the season and really for large portions of the season. So Malone also fueled the fire by calling these. Now, over the last 4 months of the season, he was very adamant to kind of say, you know, Jokic is our best player. He's our MVP. I think he's an MVP candidate, all of these things. And again, there could be hidden motivations for it. But at least early on in the season, it really made me raise an eyebrow when he would say these things, because I thought either he's trying to motivate his players or trying to, somebody's ego needs it. And look, Jokic's ego does not. He doesn't care what Malone says. But he could say Malone could call him the seventh best player on the roster. He wouldn't care. So maybe it was a little bit of that. But I suspect it was also a little bit of just, again, undervaluing this diamond that he has, at least in my opinion. He almost never went small ball, or the team went small way too infrequently, and with as few small forwards as they had and as many guards and forwards as they had, I'm really surprised they didn't do more three-guard lineups. The fact that there's only 65 minutes with the starters plus Will Barton at small forward, I think, is a crime. That lineup, to me, not only is it very, very possibly a starting lineup next season, it would be great if we actually knew that that lineup had any kind of potential, or if it didn't work, it would be great for the front office to know that at this moment. But he just didn't go to it, and it was a great lineup. They played 65 minutes together, and the Nuggets outscored opponents by 50 points there. Now, again, this all makes sense. Maybe I'm connecting dots where they don't belong, but this all makes sense if you go back to this ethos that he has of the team needs to defend and you got to play big in defense first and all these things. Well, the team he's given is this elite offensive team that you can move towards the middle defensively, but they just never embrace that. And it's funny, there was a portion in this season, really the last 2 months, really around February of this season, where Malone got kind of crusty with the media. And I think it coincided with the team kind of the pressure starting to mount as it became more and more more and more of a possibility that the Nuggets might actually miss the playoffs. I think he started to crack, specifically with the media, would refer to certain people. You know, he'd always make comments, certain people in the room, or a freaking blogger says this or that. And one example of this is when Devin Harris was brought over. I pointed out that Devin Harris was part of one of the best five-man lineups in the NBA statistically, and it was where he played small forward, and asked, do you think the Nuggets will try to play small? He snapped at me for that question, he just had something to say about, well, we'll play the style we play. We're successful too. We don't have to, something like that. And it was, you know, it was a very, I thought, innocuous question. But it actually points to, again, this being slow to want to embrace something that is other than sort of
what he values. And for me, this Nuggets team is a team that can play small and fast and execute in the half court and probably won't be great defensively at the moment, but can really murder teams. And I just think he never embraced that. Had he, I feel very confident that the Nuggets would be in the playoffs right now. The team effort lacks, and he said as much, and the players have even admitted as much, that the effort is not always there. And this is on the players as much as it is on the coach. A lot of this stuff, honestly, is it, I'm talking about Malone today. I'm going to talk about a lot of these same things when we talk about players. The effort wasn't always there, and as a coach, I think he has to take responsibility for it, right or wrong. A coach's job, first and foremost, is to be a leader. And as a leader, you have to figure out what buttons to push and you have to figure out what motivates people. I think it's pretty clear that the Nuggets get stuck in the mud, that their Nuggets get their energy from the offensive end and it translates to the defensive end. But when their offense is going well, their defense picks up. And there's more to it than that. There's a lot of other nuances to it. But for whatever reason, this season, in a year when everything was on the line and it was playoffs or bust, whether they wanted to say it or not, there were too many games where they just didn't have the energy and effort. And I think he has to find ways. He's always said you can't coach effort. I hope he comes out next season and changes that tune and says, you know what, I've got to find better ways to motivate these guys night in and night out. The defense has barely improved in his tenure here, and the more I watch the Nuggets, the more I think that might not actually be his fault, or it's not completely his fault. I do think that there are coaches in the league who have built, let's look at the Spurs, for example, one of the top three defenses in the NBA this season. Davis Bertans, Tony Parker, who's older than dirt, Joffrey LaVerne, Pau Gasol. I mean, there's a lot of minus defenders on that roster, specifically in the front court, and they somehow make it work into a top three defense. So the fact that the Nuggets are so bad, now I'm comparing Malone to Pop and saying he's coming up short, this is not fair. The team has some really, really bad defenders, and I think one of the jobs the front office will have to do over the next two or three seasons, I don't think they can do it in one offseason, they might not even make a dent this offseason, but over the course of two or three seasons is really to add some defenders. If you look at the Nuggets roster, they've got Paul Millsap, Gary Harris, and Torrey Craig. Those are the only three I would call like good defenders, and Gary Harris is, and quite frankly, a little bit questionable. He's more of a two-way player, but I don't know that he's a lockdown kind of guy. Mason Plumlee you could throw in there, although I'd never heard him called a defensive player till he got to Denver. He did make some really nice hustle defensive plays, but I've talked about his defense being overrated by Malone in the past. So the Nuggets don't. But the point is, the Nuggets don't have a lot of great defenders. So how much can you really throw on Malone for not having a great defense? I think some. I think he has to take partial responsibility for it and continue to work to try to make that defense better with what he's given. And then lastly, I think his temper blinds him. And we've talked about this a lot. He is a very emotional guy. Again, snapping at the media. I think it's another one of those things where his fuse is just so short. The problem is, it's no excuse. As a leader, you must be able to channel these types of things properly. And if you don't, your temper owns you. I think for him, too often, his temper has owned him, and it's one thing. Now, I will say, this is the one area I think he has probably improved on the most. I think he is much better now than he was two seasons ago. Even after game, you could see he takes this like deep breath all the time, and he could be very measured even after really, really tough games. And you could just tell he's working on it and working on it. But I think he has more room to go. Specifically, your decision making when your temper is hot is not bad. It's just a fact. We're all biased. We all are emotional, not rational beings. And when your temper runs hot, you make irrational decisions. And I think he understands that, but I think he has work to go in that regard. Now, that was a tough segment talking about all of his shortcomings, and but again, like I said, I don't think he should be fired. I think he should be retained. I don't know that he should be extended. The Nuggets don't have two decisions here. Malone is going to fight for an extension, possibly even try to muck things up and make it ugly, because no coach likes to go into the final year of their contract as a lame duck. Now, the organization or / ownership might say, too bad, we didn't make the playoffs and we're not extending a non-playoff coach. No Nuggets coach has ever coached four seasons, got a fourth year when they missed the playoffs their first three. So Malone's already sort of in uncharted territory. I personally don't think they should extend him, but I don't think that he should have been fired either. I think he has earned another go round at this, and quite frankly, he's earned a fully healthy year to kind of see how he's done. But more to the point, I think every Nuggets fan should be hoping and rooting hard for Malone to grow as a coach, just the way that they root for players to grow as players. Jamal Murray is a below average point guard right now. Do I think he's going to be a below average point guard next year, 2, 3, 4 years from now? Absolutely not. In fact, I think his ceiling is just so incredibly high. But where he is in year two is a below average point guard. Well, I think Malone is probably a below average coach at this moment. There's a lot of good coaches in the NBA right now, which is weird. 10 years ago, I felt like there was like 5 good coaches and a bunch of bad ones. Now I think there's a lot of good coaches in the NBA right now. And Malone probably ranks in the back half of that. I think it's fair to say. Now, is it possible that he could make a big leap this offseason? Absolutely. In fact, I'm rooting for it, and I would not at all be surprised. I like Malone, and I really am rooting for it to happen. I think the best outcome for Nuggets fans is that Michael Malone is their Greg Popovich, or he's the guy that is here for 10, 15, 20 years. He's the Doug Moe who gets his banner hung up in the rafters with 500, 600, 700 wins and all these great memories along the way. But to do that, he's going to have to grow. And as young as he is, as inexperienced as he is as a head coach, and with such a weird team that he's not weird, such a unique team that he has given, I think it is very, very fair to be optimistic that he is going to grow into this role. And I honestly believe that he is, I talked about how driven he is. I honestly believe that he wants to improve on his shortcomings. I'm sure that he differs with me about what all of his shortcomings are, but I think that he is just as driven, more driven than I am, to improve in those areas. And those areas include communication, include his temper, including being willing just to admit when he is wrong about something and figure it out. If you could have like a genie, like if he had 3 wishes and a genie could appear and the genie could tell him exactly how to understand Nikola Jokic, Malone would take that in a heartbeat. He's not so stubborn that he's going to try to force a square peg into a round hole or whatever the saying is there. But he is, I think he is going to, I think he wants to improve as badly as everybody wants him to improve. And so in that regard, you know, there's always these chances that he can be a vastly different coach 2, 3, 4 years down the line than he is right now. We've actually seen it. We've seen coaches who have had stints at different places and failed or have not reached very high highs and then have gone elsewhere and succeeded really, really well. Bill Belichick was the Browns coach for a while in football. Now he's arguably the greatest football coach of all time. I think these things are possible over time if a coach is willing to kind of learn. I think he needs people who will challenge him, and I talked about this the other day. This could be players. This could be front office. This could be other coaches. I think probably all 3, maybe even ownership. I think Malone is a guy. Oftentimes, leaders fit a certain mold. I think there's 2 types of people that are kind of predisposed to being leaders in leadership positions. The one is like Michael Malone, and I think Michael Malone's personality type is that of a general or a sergeant, so to speak. Somebody who likes to grind, hard work above all else, by the book, traditionalist in a lot of ways, just inherently has these traditionalist values and sees the world in this very black-white type of way. And I think that's who Malone is. I think he's somebody that has come through the ranks, son of a coach, family of, you know, a bunch of Brooklyn police officers and all these things. And I think just his personality type is that type of just keep grinding type personality. I think the other personality that is most predisposed to being a leader is somebody who is incredibly perceptive and incredibly good at communicating with all different types, communicating and reading people. I don't know that Malone is that type, but I think he needs to develop those skills a lot better. And that'll be a big phase of him going forward, is how well can he sort of become this adaptable personality, stick to your values, stick to your guns on a lot of things, but knowing when it's time to bend, I think is something he can absolutely improve on. And I think something that is possible for him to improve on. And then another thing that gives you hope for the future, and this is the most obvious one, the team looked really good when they were all healthy. I know most teams this is the case, but with the Nuggets, a lot of their issues really came together when the team was healthy. They looked good through the first 14 games. They looked good through the last 7, 8, 9, 10 games or so. But so I think that we have to all step back and sort of take with a grain of salt that there is a really real possibility that this team was actually a great team in hiding, and they just did not have a very important piece for most of the season and then some other very important pieces for parts of the season. So for me, again, I think Michael Malone is far from a perfect player or far from a perfect coach, but I think there's reason to believe that he can grow into being not just a good coach, but a great coach. And I think all Nuggets fans should be rooting for that. I know that I am. I would absolutely love for us to make a Denver Stiff shirt 5 years from now about Michael Malone's record-setting win total or whatever it is, or trip to the conference finals or finals, whatever it is. I think it's within the realm of possibility. He's easily the most controversial person on the team amongst Nuggets fans. But again, I think when you step away from it all, you see that there's a lot of successes and a lot of failures mixed together in there. It's not as black as white as everybody would like to seem. Thanks so much, guys. I'll be back on Wednesday this week talking about the season of Nikola Jokic. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.